Good morning, Preston Wood. It's good to see you today. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. You know what to do. Come on, stand up. We're going to worship the Lord today.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison door. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory.
Come on.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out.
We sing to the God who always makes a way. He hung upon that cross, then He rose up from the grave. My God, still rolling stones away.
Come on.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout.
Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, and now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
Come on.
We were the beggars, and now we're royalty.
Good morning, Prestonwood. It is so good to see you this morning. We have five coming to these waters of baptism to give their public testimony of a changed life. This is Jeremiah Maynor. Jeremiah, based upon your public profession of faith, in obedience to Christ's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is Stephen McDonald. Stephen, based upon your public profession of faith and obedience to Christ's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congratulations. And this is Carol Ratcliffe. All right, Carol. Because of your personal testimony in obedience to Christ's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congratulations. And this is Trish Sakew. And Trish, because you've confessed Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congratulations. And this is very special. This is Victoria Miller. And Victoria made a decision in our 9:30 service this morning to rededicate her faith. And it's coming for immediate baptism, Victoria, because you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And based upon his command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're buried with Christ in baptism. We're raised to walk in newness of life. Congratulations.
Amen. Isn't that fun to get to watch? We celebrate with these who've given their life to Christ in following in believer's baptism, and one who followed immediately. Wow, that's so cool. So could we have a baptism right after this service? Maybe, may have to wait till next week, but anyway. Well, welcome. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Isn't it good to be here, I tell you. My name's Alan Moore. I have the incredible privilege of serving as minister to senior adults here at Prestonwood. And on behalf of Pastor Graham and our staff, we just want to say welcome. We're so glad you're here. And hopefully as you came in this morning, you received the Prestonwood Today. If you don't have a copy of that, you can go on and text GUIDE to 74788 so that you will be well informed of all that's going on in our church. We don't take the summer off. We stay full speed ahead. You know, we did last summer, so we're making up for that this summer. We're doing even more, so be sure and be informed and get plugged in. If you're here for the first time, we want to say welcome to you. We're so glad that you've chosen to come to Prestonwood today. We know that you have many choices. You could be a number of places, but we're so thankful that God has brought you here to worship with us. We want to invite you to go to the atrium to Guest Central after the service, if you can. We have a gift for you as first-time guests. We're even going to give you a ticket for a free meal in the Commons. We have a phenomenal buffet, and we want to treat you to that. But if you also would text GUEST to 74788, the word GUEST, we would appreciate that. To those of you joining us online, we say welcome. My understanding is we have some 40 to 50 nations gathered every week for this time of worship, and we're so glad that you're with us. Just know that we have ministers ready to engage with you, to pray with you, to encourage you any way that you need that. So reach out to them and take advantage of that. Isn't it good to be in God's house? Would you join with me as we pray? Father, we love you so much. Thank you for the blessing of being in your house. We are glad to be here, to have the privilege of worshiping you, our God, corporately as a church body. Lord, may you, as you speak, may we hear. May we have eyes to see and hearts to understand exactly what it is that you have for us today. And Lord, I pray that we would be ready to say yes to whatever it is that you call for us, that our response would be yes. May you be pleased with our worship. And with the week ahead, Lord, as we live for you, may we honor you in all that we do. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Let's continue in worship. God of miracles, still at work. There's no fear.
There is no fear, 'cause I believe. There is no doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over.
Sing that again. There's no fear.
There is no fear,
'cause I believe there is no doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. Make way through the waters, walk me through the fire, do what you are made.
Father, you are the God of wonders. You are the God of miracles. Thank you for walking us through the fire, for making a way through those deep and troubling waters. We are grateful. We offer up a song of praise. It's why we gather here. We recognize your love for us, God, and we are desperate for you. We are lost without you. We love you. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
You guys can go ahead and have a seat. I love being a part of a church that's full of every generation, and we sing the songs of the generations, just like that new one we just sang, Famous Four, that came out last year, and we sing great hymns of the faith, great songs of tradition that anchor us to our heritage. And when the pastor and I were talking about a lot of the songs that we love to sing and worship to through the years, over the past 30 years, some amazing worship songs have risen up, and we thought we'd put together just a little medley of some of these songs that we used to sing a lot in the past few years, and maybe you'd call them classic worship songs, you know? But before I sing this first one, I'm reminded of one of my favorite passages of Scripture, Psalm 63. It says, God, you are my God, and earnestly I seek you. My whole body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary. beheld your power and glory. And because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. My whole body longs for you. You hear the desperation that's in that. We need his presence. We need his power every single day. Every breath belongs to him. Every heartbeat belongs to him.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence, living in me.
Sing it with me.
This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you.
This is the air.
This is the air I breathe. And this is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. And you are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I see. You are my all in all.
Do you know what?
Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Worthy is your name. help me know you are. Help me know you are near. Help me know you are near.
Sing it together.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days the wonders of your mighty love.
My comfort,
my comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let it free rest.
Come on.
All that oh.
pray with me? Pray with me, please. Lord, you are worthy of all the praise and all the glory, for your power is great, for the wonders of your love, for the beauty of your holiness. For you, our precious Savior, whose blood was spilled for us, who died that we may live, who rose again that we might be alive in you. For the dear Holy Spirit, in us and with us, we praise you. May your church be encouraged today as we elevate you. May we be lifted into your presence. May we know your word and your truth and declare to the nations your great love and your great power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please take a seat. I love hearing those songs from, I guess as Michael was saying, the last 15 or 20 years. Some of them given to us by Michael W. Smith, and I would ask you, Michael, Neil and I, our own Michael, we're talking about W. today, Michael W., not George W., Michael W., and his mother just passed away, and recently both his mother and father, so I know many of us are praying for Michael W. and his family in this time of loss, and so many great songs, and times of worship like this are... they're irreplaceable in my life, I tell you this. I wouldn't miss this for the world. I wouldn't miss being with you and gathering with God's people on God's day for anything. It's been my life. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So we come with gladness and gratitude in our hearts every time we get together. I wish we could get together more, frankly. These are sweet, sweet times in the presence of God. Of the Lord. And I love Michael Neal. Michael Neal came to us in a time of great need in our church, in a transition, and he has led us the last 7 or 8 years. And what I love so much about Michael is not only his great writing skills and the songs that he has written, many of them well-known and powerful songs like Your Great Name and Mercy Tree. But the way he also passes the ball and raises up and leads others on this platform to lead us in worship and developing our team at the North Campus and just our entire worship experience. Michael is very, very special, and his heart for God shows in his music and in his leadership. And this is just another example of his sensitivity to where we are as a church and what we need to sing in these days. All glory to God. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 8, the seventh chapter of Romans. We're going to get to 8. We're actually going to punch pause on the Romans series for a few weeks here, because when we come back with Romans 8 at the top of it, I want us to be full force in our attendance and bringing people and helping people to experience the powerful passage, one of the greatest scriptures in all of the Bible, which is Romans 8. But before we turn the page to Romans 8, we need to do something. And what I want us to do today is to declare our victory. The title of this message is Declare Your Victory. And it's taken from the 25th verse of chapter 7. And it simply says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. We have an incredible opportunity in these days to live out our faith as never before. And the way we do that is to declare victory. Now, if you were with us the last time, you know that we talked about our struggle, Paul's struggle with sin and self. The earlier portion of Romans chapter 7 spoke of this struggle that is within, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing? There is a dilemma that we must all consider, and this is this dilemma. Why do we do what we do? Why we still struggle with sin and the problems in the inner life of dealing with sin and temptation? And it was good to know that the greatest Christian who ever lived, the Apostle Paul, struggled as well, and he gave us an inside look at his own life and his own struggle with sin. Some would say this was Paul early in his Christian faith, but I would suggest that, like all of us, Paul struggled with sin and self all the days of his life, regardless of our maturity in faith. How long we've been doing this, we all know that we struggle. We struggle with sin, and we learn that there is a dynamic that we must all claim, and that is the dynamic of the Holy Spirit's presence and power within us. Paul spoke in Romans 7 again and again of himself. I, my, me, my. It's all about himself. But then he turns the corner and says, thanks be unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he moves right into a passage where he's talking about the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. And that's Romans chapter 8. And the dynamic that we must all claim that we're going to be considering over the next time in Romans is this presence power of the Holy Spirit. Have you made the discovery that the Christian life is not hard? It is impossible. Amen. In our own strength, by our own human efforts, we are unable to do what we want to do, what God has called us to do. And so we need the Holy Spirit, and we have the Holy Spirit. The Bible says if any one of you, that is Christians, you don't have the Holy Spirit, and all Christians possess Christ and his Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're none of his. So we do have the Holy Spirit. And this is the dynamic that empowers us and enables us to live this Christian life. But along with this dilemma and along with this dynamic, what I want to focus on today with you is the declaration that we must all confess. Paul is making a bold, believing declaration in Romans chapter 7 when he says, thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is exulting in the fact that Jesus is our victor, that our Lord has given us victory in Jesus. And he makes this declaration, and it is this declaration that I want to focus on with you today. And the declarations that we find throughout all of the Bible that teach us how we are to overcome and live in this victory ourselves. Confessions and professions of faith that we find throughout God's Word. It begins in the beginning when God himself makes a confession. With the chaos before creation, God speaks. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. The creative power of the Word of God. When God speaks, everything changes. When God speaks, our lives change. What we say about what God says reinforces and strengthens our faith. We have all kinds of confessions that we make. At the close of this service, as we do every time, when we preach God's word, we're going to be inviting people to make a public profession of faith in Jesus Christ. Why do we do that? The scripture says in Romans 10, if we confess with our mouths, that's the declaration. If we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in our hearts, we shall be saved. Because we are possessing Christ, we are now professing Christ. And so we always encourage people to come forward and openly follow Jesus. It's a core commitment of Prestonwood that we do this, because when we preach, it is with an invitation and an open door to all who will believe and confess and profess their faith in Jesus Christ. And we've been praying for some of you right now, some online, that you would simply text in your testimony of faith in Jesus Christ. But right here in this room, that you would come forward and openly follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That this will be a declaration. It's something, there's something about coming forward that strengthens your faith and commitment, solidifies your faith, and enables you to go forward in victory. What a great victory it's going to be when you profess your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We should remember that when we witness, and all of us are called to be witnesses, testimonies for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you share your testimony of faith in Christ? You say, well, I don't know how. Everyone has a story. And if you know Christ, you can tell the story of Jesus, of what Christ has done in your life. It is to be a declaration, and all of us are to be involved in the ministry and the mission of Christ and His church, which is sharing the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When apostles were threatened in the book of Acts, they ended up saying, we cannot help but what? Speak of those things which we have seen and heard. So we are to speak of our faith and our witness for the Lord Jesus. When we worship, as we just worship the Lord, we are declaring our faith. Yes, worship is directed vertically to God, and we are praising Him and experiencing His presence. He inhabits the praises of His people. We are elevated into the presence of the Lord by His Spirit. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. But worship, even the singing of songs as we just have done, it's a declaration, isn't it? When you sing these great songs, worthy is the Lamb, that's a declaration of Christ and who He is. When you say, Jesus, you are my all in all, that is a declaration of who Christ is. That's why you should never come in here and put your hands in your pocket and just wait through the worship to something else, because God has called you to walk in here, every one of us, and not to be silent, but to declare our faith in Jesus Christ. What does the scripture say? Let the redeemed of the Lord, what? Say so. So say so. We were like the Apostle Paul, who said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? In the ancient world, we're told it happened actually near where Paul grew up in Tarsus. A strange habit, if you committed a murder, they would often take the body, the carcass of the one you murdered, and strap it to you face to face. Can you imagine that? And your punishment was to walk with the murdered body of the one, your life, the life you took, and the decaying and all the rest. That's the body of death. We have this flesh, and it's decaying and it's dying. But Paul said, who's going to deliver me from this? Oh, wretched man that I am. And that's when he declared his faith. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ. So whether it's a new song or an old song, sing it, say it. Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. What does the psalmist say? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be where? In my mouth. We're talking about declarations, declaring your faith. Baptism. When you are baptized as a believer and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is declaring your faith, a testimony that of what you believe, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. It's a dramatic declaration. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and on the third day he rose again. That's why no other mode or method of baptism will do, because it's not biblical. Biblical baptism is by immersion only, for believers only. And so that's why we call you to take a stand through believers' baptism, having professed your faith in Jesus Christ. Next week, we're going to do another fountain baptism at the 9:30 service, this service. We're going to do it outside and bring it into the service live at 9:30. It's going to be wonderful. If you'd like, would like to be baptized and make this declaration of your faith, not only who you believe, but what you're now becoming in Christ. Your old life is buried in Christ. You're raised to walk a newness of life. If you would like to declare your faith next week at 9:30 in the fountain baptism, sign up today. And if you have questions, let us know. And you can do that even by coming forward during the invitation today and saying, I want to be baptized as a declaration of my faith in Christ. We ought to be making declarations of faith over our families and our children. Amen. Because the world, the culture, is spewing out lies. And our children are being indoctrinated with the lies of Satan and the philosophies of men. And so we are, as parents and grandparents, to declare faith over our children and our grandchildren. If you don't, who will? You say, well, I want our children to make up their own minds about what they believe. Well, that's good. They should have a personal faith. But while they're making up their minds, you make sure that you are declaring the Word of God and teaching them the truth about the gospel of Christ so that they can make a decision that's not so overtly impacted by the world. If you let the world teach your children, guess what they're going to end up believing? So we need to be like Joshua. Joshua made a bold declaration, a courageous confession of his faith. He stood before the children of Israel near the end of his life, and he said, I don't know what you're going to do, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a declaration. A declaration is speaking the Word of God. And to so many Christians who are struggling with self and sin, and it often shows up in the things we say. Rather than speaking words of faith, we speak words of fear and anxiety. We've come through these past 18 months with all the uproar, the upheaval of the pandemic, social unrest, and all the rest. And I've never seen so much emotional instability and struggle that people are facing as a result. And often it's what we say to ourselves or say to others. We speak fear rather than faith. We're like the Apostle Paul earlier in Romans 7, we're divided and defeated. We're a contradiction of what we say we believe about Jesus and the Word of God. So much negativity in what we're saying, what we're speaking. I believe it's time we stop whining and worrying and licking our wounds and start living in the victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to declare that victory. That's what Paul did. Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. A person of faith speaks words of confidence and trust and victory. And there is tremendous power in this. More and more we are learning the impact of words, what we say, on our brains, on our health, on our relationships, on our career, our overall well-being. But when we speak faith-filled words, we develop a winning mindset. Now, I'm not talking about a word of faith that attempts to predict the future or claim the future without God. The scripture says, Hebrews 13:6 tells us, He has said, so that we may boldly say, courageously say. I'm not saying your words create reality. I don't believe the Bible teaches that at all. But I do know that the reality of who we are in Christ is to always be confessed with our words. And instead of constantly expressing our doubts, our defeats, our discouragements, our depression, and talking about those things, we need to start talking about what God has done in our lives. Thanks be to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. This bold declaration will lead us to victory in Jesus. Jesus taught us this. Because in Luke's gospel, he was talking about faith and the mountains that we face in life. And he wasn't talking about a physical or an actual mountain, but mountains, those things that obstruct our vision and obscure our vision and obstruct our victory in Christ. And so anything in our lives, whatever that mountain it is that stands in front of us, a mountain, a health problem, a relational issue, a health or a problem with sin in our lives, all the problems, all these pinnacles, these mountains that stand in front of us. And what did Jesus say about the mountain, what we should do about the mountain? You say, well, he said pray. Yes, he did say pray. But in praying, he said, speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. And what you say to the mountain, then the mountain will be cast into the middle of the sea. So call it out and confess it. Name it and confess it. Whatever it is that you are facing in your life, whatever mountain that you're dealing with, what are you to do? You are to speak to the mountain with a declaration of faith, praying, oh God, move the mountain. Change those circumstances. And if you don't change the circumstances, change me. God often uses our circumstances to change us and correct us as we walk with Christ. But say to the mountain, there was a man in the Old Testament by the name of Zerubbabel. I love saying that name. You should name your next son Zerubbabel. Any takers? Zerubbababy. Zerubbabel. And he was charged with rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. And he had worked and worked and worked, and nothing was happening. All he had in front of him, it appeared, was this huge mountain. And they weren't digging through it or digging under it. There was nothing to show. Nearly 20 years of straining and stressing and trying to get this temple out of the ground and rebuilt. And that's when God spoke to Zerubbabel. The Spirit of God said to him, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit to the Lord. And he went on to say, before Zerubbabel, O mountain, before Zerubbabel, you shall become as a plain. And in the Hebrew, you shall become as a plain. It's one word. It's a Hebrew word. And here's what it means, actually. O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, whammo! Loose translation. Zap! God says, That mountain is becoming a plain. And then he went on to say that what he starts, he's going to finish, and that God put the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel, and what he started, he will finish. I tell you these illustrations to remind you that when we say something from God's word, there is power in the word of God. And when we speak, mountains move. Our mountains move. We're to speak those words with a winning heart, a winning mindset. And here's what I want to say to you that is so very, very important. Expose the lies that we believe, that Satan tells us, that we tell ourselves. Eliminate the lies and embrace the truth. Exchange lies for truth. I've heard a lot of Christians say things like, well, I'm never going to be enough. I'm never going to break this habit. I'm never going to overcome this addiction. My child's never going to come back to the Lord. This marriage is never going to work. I'm a loser. I don't even know if I'm saved. And we all confess at times this negativity, these no's, these nevers. And you need to realize where these are coming from, because Satan is the author of lies. He's a liar, Jesus said, and a murderer from the beginning. He's the deceiver. So Satan comes to us, or as we listen to the lies around us in the culture, in the world, as we listen to self-talk, so often we keep saying what we cannot do. But I want to remind you that it's not what the world says you are that matters. It's what God says you are that matters. All of Romans is about our identity in Christ. It's not what we say we are, but who God says we are. And what does God say? Just start with Romans. We've been there. I am a sinner, but powerfully saved by the grace of God. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a saint. I'm a child of God. I'm blood bought. I am born again. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I am no longer living under the condemnation of the weight and the guilt of my sin. I am not a wretched man. I'm a man in Christ. I am justified before the sight of holy God. I am righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who I am. Not condemned, but chosen by God. Created and made by the hand of God. Gifted by God with His Spirit and with His life and His love. I am beloved by God. Accepted in the Beloved. Approved by Holy God. Because, not because of me, but because of Christ. And now this is who I am. I was what I used to be. And as the old preacher said, you know, I'm not what I'm going to be, but thank God I'm not what I was. We are brand new creations in Jesus Christ. I could go on and on and on. And don't you think it's about time that we stop confessing to one another and especially to the world without Christ our weakness and start confessing our strength? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am a victor in the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer a victim of Satan and the powers of the enemy, but I'm living in victory because Christ is my victor. Christ is my all in all. He is all I need. He is sufficient. He has provided. And all of these promises that we have in the Bible, thousands of them, we're to personalize these promises and profess them. And to say to God, to say to ourselves and anyone else who will listen, He has said so that I may boldly say, courageously say. We're not just making things up. I'm talking about confessing God's word and believing God's word. And then living in that victory that Christ has given us. There is victory in Jesus. I was listening to our friend Sheila Walsh on an Instagram post this week. And she was sharing something of her struggles just through the whole COVID season and the changes and all of that that we are all experiencing. And Sheila was saying, in the middle of all that isolation and separation, she began going on her back porch and opening her Bible, as many of you do, of course. You open your Bible when you get up in the morning and begin reading it. If you don't, you should start now. But Sheila was saying, I open my Bible so often to the Psalms, and she said, I have been reading the Psalms out loud. And Sheila was saying that there's something about reading the Word of God aloud that connects. And the testimony and the truth of God's Word is professed, because what we think we ultimately say, Jesus said, what comes out of the heart is what matters. And out of the heart come our words. And so I thought, what a tremendous idea. That's why when we come to church and the Word of God is declared over you and spoken to you, that you begin to grow in your faith and develop your strength in Christ. We are redeemed. We are rescued. That's what Paul is saying. Who will deliver me from this body of death? My Lord Jesus Christ. You can control the way you think and the way you talk by meditating upon God's word and, might I add, mouthing God's word. Declare the truth. Hebrews 4:14 says this, let us hold fast our confession. Hold tightly to our confession of faith. Again, God has counseled us, commanded us to confess this faith, to openly profess this faith, to say it, and to say it often. When we come to times of temptation, Jesus taught us this well once again when he went out to the desert to take on the devil. And the devil came at him with three successive temptations. Jesus was in a state of physical weakness. And the devil came after him and said, turn the stones into bread. You deserve it. Jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Let the angels embrace you, and everyone will applaud you and herald you as king. Bow down to me, and I will give you all the kingdoms of this world. Three successive temptations. And how did Jesus respond? He spoke the word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. And he gave the devil the scripture. And he overcame the temptations. Revelation chapter 12, they overcame him, that is the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, what Christ has done for us on the cross, and the word of their testimony. It is your word. It is your testimony. It is what you say. It is how you speak that puts the devil on the run, that sends him packing. I can't tell you how important this is. You may be a follower of Jesus and you've been struggling with anxious thoughts and angry, depressed thoughts, or lustful or greedy thoughts, or thoughts that are consuming your mind. Our minds are transformed by the power of Christ, And as we start speaking truth to the lies and victory in Jesus, our mind is transformed. Because Christianity is not behavior modification. It is life transformation. That's what the faith is. And therefore, shout to the Lord. Amen. Speak to yourself. Call it like it is, even if it's not yet true in your life. You're struggling with an illness, or you're struggling with a temptation, or struggling with an addiction, or struggling with an issue in your life. When you begin speaking the power of the Word of God into your life and into the issues of your life, that's when God, in His own time and His own way, begins to work. So declare your victory. Declare your triumph in Christ. And live in the fullness of who you are in Christ. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, we declare our faith and our trust in you. We believe, and therefore we speak. May the power of your word now penetrate by your Spirit the hearts and lives of all who listen, all of us, Lord. And to those who do not know you, to those who have never come to a place of personal decision and possession of Christ and public proclamation, let this be the day of their declaration. Let this be the new beginning that you have promised by your new birth. So we pray that your Holy Spirit now will work in every heart and every life, online and on site today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now would you stand with me, please? Everyone standing together. As I said, this is the time of decision, and that means it's time for declaration. Online, 747-88, type in J-E-S-U-S and declare your decision to follow Jesus Christ. Declare your desire to know Jesus. If you have questions, we're there to respond to you. Our online pastor, campus pastor, is a community pastor online, is there waiting for you to click in so that we can encourage you and pray for you and strengthen you for you to make this kind of profession of your faith in Christ. It's a simple click, but it can be a confession that changes the rest of your life. And then to everyone in this room, the Holy Spirit is moving in your heart. God's Word has penetrated your life. And now's the time for you to act and declare your faith. And that's why I'm going to ask you to come forward. Upstairs, we have pastors in the balcony. Our ministers are up there for those of you up in the balcony. And then right on this lower level, our ministers are going to be right here. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you will confess Christ as your Savior, then walk down this aisle and tell one of these men, today I am declaring my faith in Jesus Christ. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Come, and the act of, there's nothing magical about walking down a church aisle, but it is an act of declaration. It is a personal decision and a public decision that you make. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So say so today. And come forward and tell one of these ministers, our pastors, and you'll be saying to this entire body of believers who are going to be cheering you on, you're going to be saying to them, I am declaring my faith in Jesus Christ. And then be baptized as soon as possible as a testimony of your faith, a declaration of your faith in Christ. If you've not had believers' baptism, as the New Testament teaches it, I'm going to ask that you come forward as well and make that declaration and decision today that the next time it is possible for me, I'm going to be baptized as a believer in Christ. I'm going to say so. There are others, you've been visiting this church, you've been worshiping with us, and now's the time to make a declaration of your desire to be a part of this church family. And that's an important declaration. that you identify your life with a local church. We're not just floating, free-range Christians. We get committed in the body of believers, a local church, using our spiritual gifts and serving Christ. So I'm going to ask you to make a declaration of that by coming forward. And I really want you to come forward. I mean, you can join in other ways. You can go to Guest Central, as I'm going to tell you. You can be in a group, one of our new members' classes. But really, honestly, you want to know what I want you to do? And I believe God would have you to do? Don't come in the side door somewhere. Come down the front aisle. Come openly and publicly and say, I want to join this church and be a faithful member of this family. That's a declaration. And I'm challenging you to do it. To get your children and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and come to Him today. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power that your word gives to us. And Lord, now may people decide and declare for Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, I come, I come.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text the word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.